You are about to hear The Sabbath by Abraham Joshua Heschel, narrated by John Clickman. Prologue. Architecture of Time. Technical civilization is man's conquest of space. It is a triumph frequently achieved by sacrificing an essential ingredient of existence, namely time. In technical civilization, we expend time to gain space. To enhance our power in the world of space is our main objective. Yet to have more does not mean to be more. The power we attain in the world of space terminates abruptly at the borderline of time. But time is the heart of existence. To gain control of the world of space is certainly one of our tasks. The danger begins when, in gaining power in the realm of space, we forfeit all aspirations in the realm of time. There is a realm of time where the goal is not to have but to be, not to own but to give, not to control but to share, not to subdue but to be in accord. Life goes wrong when the control of space, the acquisition of things of space, becomes our sole concern. Nothing is more useful than power, nothing more frightful. We have often suffered from degradation by poverty. Now we are threatened with degradation through power. There is happiness in the love of labor. There is misery in the love of gain. Many hearts and pitchers are broken at the fountain of profit. Selling himself into slavery to things, man becomes a utensil that is broken at the fountain. Technical civilization stems primarily from the desire of man to subdue and manage the forces of nature. The manufacture of tools, the art of spinning and farming, the building of houses, the craft of sailing, all this goes on in man's spatial surroundings. The mind's preoccupation with things of space affects, to this day, all activities of man. Even religions are frequently dominated by the notion that the deity resides in space, within particular localities like mountains, forests, trees, or stones, which are, therefore, singled out as holy places. The deity is bound to a particular land. Holiness, a quality associated with things of space, and the primary question is, where is the God? There is much enthusiasm for the idea that God is present in the universe, but that idea is taken to mean his presence in space rather than in time, in nature rather than in history, as if he were a thing, not a spirit. Even pantheistic philosophy is a religion of space. The supreme being is thought to be the infinite space. Deus sive natura has extension, or space, as its attribute, not time. Time to Spinoza is merely an accident of motion, a mode of thinking. And his desire to develop a philosophy more geometrico, in the manner of geometry, which is the science of space, is significant of his space-mindedness. The primitive mind finds it hard to realize an idea without the aid of imagination, and it is the realm of space where imagination wields its sway. Of the gods, it must have a visible image. Where there is no image, there is no God. The reverence for the sacred image, for the sacred monument or place, is not only indigenous to most religions, it has even been retained by men of all ages, all nations, pious, superstitious, or even anti-religious. They all continue to pay homage to banners and flags, to national shrines, to monuments erected to kings or heroes. Everywhere the desecration of holy shrines is considered a sacrilege, and the shrine may become so important that the idea it stands for is consigned to oblivion. The memorial becomes an aid to amnesia. The means stultify the end. For things of space are at the mercy of man. Though too sacred to be polluted, they are not too sacred to be exploited. To retain the holy, to perpetuate the presence of God, his image is fashioned. Yet a God who can be fashioned, a God who can be confined, is but a shadow of man. We are all infatuated with the splendor of space, with the grandeur of things of space.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?